Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer.
Thank you.
We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, thank you.
Thank you.
My, we're so blessed. All of this week has just been wonderful, sir, and it's all because of you. And we open our hearts today and we open our minds for revelation from heaven, we would see Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Join
Amen.
Me again today in welcoming Marilyn Hickey to this
thank
broadcast
you.
And welcoming Gloria to this broadcast.
Well, thank you so much.
Amen.
Gloria, let me touch you too.
Bless you, Marilyn.
Gloria, this has been good, hasn't it?
It's good.
This
Talk about
just
Jesus.
So rich.
It's always good.
Yeah, and all of Gloria and my time, we got saved within a couple of weeks of one another during the first year of our marriage. And both of us scripturally illiterate. So thank God we didn't have anything to unlearn, you know. So T.L. Osborne told me one time, said, Kenneth, you're blessed. You were born free. So, but Gloria had a heart hunger for the Word from day one. Mm-hmm. And I was lazy. I didn't want to study anything. But she got into the Word, and she was, from that day till this, because of the Word, very, very stable.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said to me back there those years ago, He said, she is to you what temper is to steel.
Mm.
Without tempering, steel's brittle.
Right.
And it was the Word and knowing Jesus in the Word
yes.
that stabilized this yeah. family and
yeah.
ministry. And I am so impressed with this work that you've done, Marilyn, to give us this tool and the tools to work with to see Jesus in every
awesome.
Book
yeah.
of the Bible.
Right.
Every one of them.
Right.
It doesn't start in the New Testament.
No.
It starts, He was there.
Right.
He was there in the first chapter, in the first verse.
Right.
And He's there. In the last chapter,
right.
in the last book, in the last verse. That's the reason when you read this book, we win.
Exactly.
We win.
Exactly.
You've blessed us.
You know, I love that in 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place.
Praise God.
And this is what I tell the devil. The game is not over till I win.
That's right.
You know, because a lot of times it doesn't look like you're winning. But that's not what the Bible says.
That's right.
Plus, we wear a perfume. You know, when you win, you stand in faith. It's a fragrance.
Oh, it is.
I want to smell like faith.
Amen.
And the Bible
like
doesn't let you smell like defeat.
No, it does not.
It makes you smell like faith. And I love this because Jesus is in every book of the Bible. Every book of the Bible. And I have put this together over 30 years for people to see Jesus. I even have a little picture of who He is in that book. Like in Genesis, He's the seed of the woman. So I have a seed, you know, above. Like in Exodus, He's the Passover lamb. And so I have a lamb. In Leviticus, He's the high priest. So I have a picture of the high priest.
Well, and the Spirit of the Lord has instructed me to say something like
Good.
That. This woman, by faith, has walked across more national borders and has been a very, very important word carrier about Jesus in places where He's never even been heard of and in places that most Christians absolutely would never even think about going, much less going in there and preach about Jesus. I mean, all over the Middle East, she has taken, God has instructed her to go places like Iran, Egypt, these different nations with the courage and the faith. When she said that a moment ago, I want to smell like faith. Well, I want to tell you something. This is the kind of faith. After her husband had gone home to be with the Lord. Now, this is important. Instead of just going and sitting down and saying, well, you know, Wally's gone home, and I thank God for him, and I thank God for that. Well, you know, I can... No, not Marilyn. No, she takes off for the Middle East. She heads off in all of these different places to preach the Word and God's opening doors. This is the woman that is leading us in a study of finding Jesus in every book of the Bible. Now, she said just there a moment ago, this is a 30-year work. And that's the reason she's been very successful in all of these different nations, in all of these different tribes and tongues and peoples of the world. Because she knows Jesus.
Praise God.
And she knows the book. You can be the same. You can be the same. God is no respecter of persons. But He is a respecter of faith, and He's a respecter of the Scripture. So you need to get in here now.
Praise
Amen.
God.
And get with it. Glory to God. Amen.
We're looking again at the Old Testament. And so we're at the last part on our program of Old Testament. But I want to look up here again. I like to do a little bit of review here with you. And I want you to see that He is in the Pentateuch. Absolutely. The first five books of Old Testament are Pentateuch. Oh, He's so wonderful. We've been looking at that, studying it, letting Him get inside us and show us His glory. Then we've looked at history. We looked at Ruth and how the kinsman redeemer is so revealed. And then we've looked at wisdom with the Psalms. Psalms is a wisdom book. And so we have five wisdom books. But today, we're looking at the prophets. And I don't like to say this, it's kind of ugly, but I think that most people are Christians, are prophetless. They say, oh, I don't read the prophets, they're too hard to understand. But you're missing Jesus, because He's in the prophets as beautifully as any of the books of the Bible. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah 53, Isaiah 54.
My.
I mean,
he's
all these things in Isaiah. But today I want to look at a minor prophet, because I think most of you are kind of turned on. You might read Isaiah. But what about these minor prophets? Does that mean they're not so smart? No. Just means they wrote less. And so I have a gorgeous picture of Jesus in Hosea for you today. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the most beautiful pictures in the whole Bible, because it's acted out in a family situation. And so we see Hosea, which really has to do with salvation, but it's a picture book for us. God tells him to marry Gomer. Gomer had been a prostitute, but it appeared that she had kind of turned her life around. And they have a child named Jezreel. That means planted by God. And so, you know, it looks like they're real happy. She's okay. But then she goes back to her prostitution. And two more children are born. And wow, I mean, when I look at these, I think, oh, this is so sad. Because she has a child called Lo-Ammi and Lo-Ruhama. Now, Lo, think about this. Lo in front of a name means no or not. So Lo-Ruhama means you're not mine. And Lo-Ammi means I'm not going to have mercy on you. So these two children are not his. Whose are they? Who knows? She's sleeping around. But he raises them. You know, she brings them home for him to raise. So he has one natural born, two who are not. They don't know who they are. But in the second chapter, it takes the Lo off in front of the names. Ruhama. I will have mercy.
I know who did that.
Yeah. And I,
that is
you know,
so
you
good.
Are mine.
Oh,
and
my.
Yeah. Think about this. One believing mate sanctifies the household.
Yes.
And Hosea is believing for these children. So he says to his children, go tell your mama to come home. because the children are saying, we're tired of Campbell's soup and frozen dinners. And he said, go tell your mama you're tired. And the Lord says to him, you cannot reason with them according to natural affection. Because in Hosea 4:11, it says, new wine and harlotry take away the heart or the affection. And so, folks, you know, you may be involved with someone who's an alcoholic, a drug addict. You may be involved with someone who's into prostitution. And so you try to reason with them. What about your children? What about me? They don't have natural affection. That takes it away. But God has an answer. So he says to Hosea, let her go. I'm going to deal with her. I will deal with her. And so suddenly she becomes very distasteful to her lovers. Probably one of the men said to another man, she doesn't use right guard. Ugh. She doesn't shave her legs. Ugh. And so she begins to be dropped.
She's just ugly.
She's ugly by her lovers. And she ends up on a slave block. And he goes and buys her back.
Isn't that?
And then I love what he says to her, Kenneth Gloria.
Oh, my God.
He said, you know, he said, don't call me Bailey, master, because he owns her now. I mean, if she steps out on him as a slave, he can kill her. It's legal. He said, don't call me Bailey. I'm not your master. Call me Ishi. I'm your husband. You know, and it never says anymore, never says that she stepped out on him. Now, this is Jesus all the way. We're on a slave block. You know, all our sins put us out there. We don't have maybe the right affections that we should have. But he comes.
We were just ugly.
We're ugly.
That's
for sure.
That's right.
And he comes and buys us back and doesn't say, I'm your master, I've got you now. He said, I'm your husband. I've redeemed you. I've brought you back.
You know what? That goes back to what we saw with Boaz. He gave her his name.
Yes, yes.
Jesus has given us his name.
That's right. And it doesn't say ever again she got involved in a mess because Jesus sets you free.
Yes.
And so they don't have natural affection. Maybe you're believing for a mate or a friend or something. They don't have natural affection. Hey, Jesus knows how to get them back. Well, what about these children? Lo Ruhamah. They're Ruhamah. And you see, God sanctifies the family because he wants the generation blessing. So Hosea is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, one of the most beautiful of all. And as we go through these minor prophets and we see who Jesus is, it is amazing. But the major prophets give you a lot of the names of Jesus. For example, Jeremiah said, he's Jehovah Tsidkenu.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Lord our righteousness. You just can't miss Jesus in that, can you? And then Ezekiel at the very end, with all of his crises and problems and acting out all the things God has him act out, said, he's Jehovah Shammah.
Yes.
He is with me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. And so you say, oh, I don't read the prophets. Oh, you don't want to be prophetless. You want to see who Jesus is in every book of the Bible. And remember, as we behold him, we are changed into his image.
Yeah.
And we go from glory to glory. I read through the Bible every year. It's always new to me. I think, what? I've read this a lot of times, but I never saw this.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a book of the Holy Spirit. And Kenneth, the word is spirit and life. The thing that gives me energy is God's word. It's God's word. I mean, people say, how can you be so busy at 82 and a half? It's the word. You know, I memorize it. I meditate on it. I soak in it. It's energy to me.
Praise God.
Yeah. And when you study the word, get the word involved in you and Jesus, seeing Jesus, I'm telling you, it will be energy to you. It will be life to you. And it will give you favor in places you never dreamed of. I go to the Muslim countries. I stand up in big, big healing meetings. I say, I love Muslims. And they clap. And I say, Muslims love me. And I clap. and then I present Jesus as a healer.
Marilyn, tell us some of the stories of going in there. I'm so blessed.
Pakistan is where I've probably gone the most, but I think I've ministered in 11 Muslim countries. Indonesia is the biggest Muslim country I've been in. But Pakistan, we had 250,000 the last time we were there, but I'm going back in September. We're expecting 500,000.
Oh, my.
Now, that'll be a big step of faith for us. But these are people, they know about Jesus because he's in the Quran. But they don't have him inside. It's Christ in us, not outside. Yeah. Yeah. In us, that's the hope of glory.
Praise God.
So in Iran, I have a glorious opportunity to go back to Iran and present a cultural exchange in a university with a mullah that's like a leader of a mosque.
Outstanding.
And so he's going to teach what the Quran says on healing. I'm going to teach what the Bible says on healing and then pray for the sick. Muslims love the manifestations of healing. I mean, they are wild over it.
Praise God.
But it's Jesus. He's the Word. His words are spirit and life to us. They keep us young, keep us cooking, keep our memory alert, keep our bodies young.
In the fourth chapter of Proverbs, when it says, "My son, attend to my words, keep them, don't let them depart from your eyes. They are life to those that find them."
Right.
Not those that just kind of pass over, that find them.
Yes.
And health to all their flesh. Yes. Medicine to their flesh.
Yes.
So what we're talking about here, we're on a hunt. We're finding.
Oh, yeah.
We're finding Jesus in every book. We're finding healing. We're finding these things.
Right.
Isn't that what we've done all these years? I mean, every time something would come up, we would go find it in the Word. And once you found it in the Word, then you can say it. Then you can stand on it.
Right. Right.
So it puts you back in that faith place. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Where Jesus said, "I only say what I hear him say." Well, this is where you begin.
Right.
"I only do what I see him do." Well, it's when you're looking is when you see him do.
Right.
So when you begin to say what he says and do what you see him do, you get his results. And Jesus said, "It's the Father that dwells within me. He does the works."
Yes, yes. You know, this is interesting. When I go to some of these countries, you know, they're 14 hours ahead of us. And so I get up to preach and, you know, my brain is, you know, you've got jet lag, you know, you're not very spiritual. But it's not my name. It's his name.
That's right.
And I just say that. It's his name. And the name of Jesus works with Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, atheists, Christians, the name works.
Oh, hallelujah.
Think about what made the difference in her life. A covenant, the marriage covenant made the difference in her
That's
life.
Good. Yeah.
Think about what made the difference in our lives.
Yeah, yeah.
The covenant.
That changed everything.
The marriage covenant. Not our marriage, but our marriage with Jesus. Yeah. Well, our marriage changed quite a lot, but I'm talking about the covenant with Jesus. And the marriage covenant changed her life. Our marriage covenant with Jesus, what changed our life. We never did accomplish anything until after we came into oneness with him. Isn't
Praise
that good?
God. Yes, it is.
Covenant, covenant, yes, covenant.
Yes.
You know, you go back to Rahab.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love her. Yeah.
You just kind of glance across her name in the New Testament, but when you go find out about Rahab in the book of Joshua and what she did and who she was, and you see this little, and the scripture is very particular to call her Rahab the harlot. It's important that you know She was a harlot.
Yeah.
But God's plan, and you can't get it by just dancing around it a little bit. You have to look for it. Oh. And when you're looking for Jesus, when you see Rahab the harlot, and she just throws herself totally and completely into God, into God's people. And she says, look, if I'm going to do this thing, you're going to take care of me. And they did. But the big thing is, God had a plan for Rahab the harlot, mm-hmm. and she became Jesus' grandmother.
That's right.
Wow! Oh, the plan. Hey, He's got a plan.
Thank you, Lord.
For you. But you have to look for it. You hunt it. You believe you receive it, because Jesus said, everyone that asks, receive. But listen, everyone that seeks will find, and everyone that knocks, it shall be open. And when you seek and look and for Jesus in every book of this Bible, He'll reveal Himself to you.
Right.
We'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.